I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Texans Packers Sunday. Packers a 3.5-point favorite. Romeo Crennel looking to get over 500. 1-1 as the interim coach of the Houston Texans, but straight balls, straight coconuts, an aggressive coach to say the very least, 73-year-old interim coach for the Texans. Let's go to NRG. Let's hear from Romeo Crennel in anticipation of the game on Sunday. Here's the head coach of the Houston Texans.
What do you like about the passing game right now, and can it be better than it has been Sunday when it was outstanding?
I think it can be better, and one of the things that helps it be better, or hopefully we'll get it to be better, is we're taking what the defense gives us, so we're spreading the ball, so they can't focus on one particular guy as being the receiver. You know, they got to cover everybody, then, which basically gives us one-on-ones, and then if they double somebody, we recognize the double, then we can get to the one-on-one, you know, so... So hopefully we can continue doing that and put pressure on the defense.
You had 188 yards throwing on first down against the Titans. Was that in the game plan, or is that kind of what we can expect from here on out since it worked so well?
That game was that game plan, and this coming game is a different game plan. And then, John, a lot of times it depends on what's working. You know, if it's working, don't fix it. And so whatever works, we're going to go to.
Romeo, and I'm going to have a follow. Romeo, what some of the challenges of game planning Aaron Rodgers?
They're tremendous because he's really good. He does a good job at the line of scrimmage, controlling the line of scrimmage, getting guys to jump off sides. He does a good job of recognizing the defense, knowing where he needs to go with the ball, and he's got weapons around him that he uses. You know, he'll use that stable of running backs that they have. Usually they have a big tight end that he likes and goes to. They got good receivers, you know. And so with all of those weapons, just like I mentioned with our guy, if he can spread the ball around, you have to cover him one-on-one to a degree, or choose who you're going to double. And he's experienced, so he can figure out what the double is. And then he can go somewhere else with the ball.
Generally speaking, what are some things you can try to do this week to help your run defense against the Packers?
We can kind of load up the box, okay? And then when you load up the box, then Aaron likes that because now he knows he's got one-on-one coverage down the field, you know? So that's one of your pick your poisons. And so what we have to do is we have to mix it up, not show him the same thing all the time, show him some different looks. And then when we show the different look, hopefully that they don't have a play called that matches that look, you know. And then if that's the case, then we have to rally and hustle to the football and try to get the guy on the ground before he gets in the end zone.
Hey, Romeo, what have you thought of Lonnie at safety this year compared to his play at corner as a rookie a year ago?
Well, Lonnie has made good progress at safety, and I think he enjoys the position and learning the position. You know, there's more communication on the back end back there as a corner. You're by yourself. You're on that island. But I think he's enjoying it, and he's making progress at it. And I think he'll get better as we go along.
Also, do you have an update on Kahale Waring since he's gone on IR? He's obviously eligible to return at this point. Is he close to returning?
Well, we'll see after this bye week, probably, you know, and go from there, make a decision at that time.
Romeo, a little bit more on Lonnie. what went into the decision to have him play so much safety? Was that a team need thing, or was that a better skill set fit for him? And do you anticipate him staying at safety for the rest of the season?
You know, looking at it, he is a big corner, and sometimes big corners are not as fleet of foot, quickness and change of direction as some of those smaller corners are. And then we kind of felt like that with his body type, he might fit better at safety and might help us more there. And so we decided to move him to safety. And like I said, he's enjoying it. He's really working to learn what it takes to be a safety. And I think he likes to hit, and he's able to do that from that safety spot. And so it's going good for him.
Romeo, do you guys, have you given Watson more freedom at the line of scrimmage than he's had in the past?
No, not really. I mean, some of our plays are alerts, you know. You run this or you run that. You know, you look at their deal, and if they got everybody at the line of scrimmage, then you can throw a pass, you know. And so he's working within the system, but he's taking advantage of what's been offered to him.
Romeo, some thoughts about Aaron Jones?
Well, hey, that's part of that stable that they got. You know, they all run hard through arm tackles, through block tackles, and he kind of helps the quarterback.
Hey, Romeo, you look at Isaiah Coulter. How much progress has he made since he's returned to practice?
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
You asked about Isaiah Coulter?
Yeah, man.
Who? What are you doing, Aaron Wilson? You have an article coming out
That's
on the guy?
That's exactly what he's doing.
What?
That is exactly what's happening. I can tell you that for
sure. All the stuff going on right now, we're asking about Isaiah Coulter?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing right now?
That's what he's doing.
What are we doing right now? He said after the bye week, we could maybe see the water polo tight end, though.
Real? Will we?
I don't know. I mean, no, Farrell Brown came off the street, and he's already making plays. Yeah. So I tend to think that when a guy's a third-round pick, the fact that he's played one offensive snap in a year plus, and last year you could say he was hurt, but they stashed him on IR. They didn't want him to be on the field because he wasn't as good as the other guys. I don't know when we're going to see Kahale Waring with the Texans. I don't know. I think we can just kind of maybe use the word bust.
What
right
was your
now
favorite
Kahale
moment
Waring.
Of the Kahale Waring era? Because I think it's just about over.
I guess when he got to play special teams for like six plays.
Yeah. He played one game,
week
right?
One against Kansas City. Yeah, that was his one game.
That's it.
He was on
have
pump block.
Have any of you actually ever seen a water polo game?
Yes,
well,
have we
you ever seen football from Kahale Waring? Because very few people have.
Have not. It's interesting. They were talking about the pass game with the Texans and, you know, the outlook of the offense the last 2 weeks. The Texans are averaging 33 points in 449 yards the last 2 weeks. Both of those over the season would be second respectively, in points per game and yards per game.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say this offense is elite, but they've played like a top five, top 10 offense since King Bill left the building and the throne was taken from the king.
And that is actually one of the most encouraging things that's happened in the couple of weeks that we've been without Bill O'Brien in this city. Because what have we always said? And people started to push back. Well, maybe, you know, Deshaun, we had callers, we had texters, we had people – saying it, you know, well, maybe Deshaun isn't as good as we thought he was. No, he's as good as we thought he was. He is. He's right now, he's got more passing yards than Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. That's something. You know, that's quarterback right there. But we're finally getting to see life without Bill O'Brien. I mean, this dude, when you sit back and look at it now, and then when we look at it maybe in a year or two, this dude just gutted the franchise. He was horrible for the Houston Texans. Bill O'Brien. I think we're all going to come to that conclusion, even the you know, the biggest Bill O'Brien truther there is.
I don't think there are any.
There were. Maybe not after this, you know, the first 4 weeks of this season, but coming into this year, I mean, we would get the calls and texts. You guys are just bashing Bill O'Brien. Yeah. And guess who was right? You know, because now you see it with Deshaun Watson. You see it with the offense.
It's not imaginary anymore. Like, we could have said the last 3+ years, 4 years now, we could have said, man, King Bill is neutering Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Watson's not reaching his full potential, but there was no proof.
Mm-hmm.
And even when King Bill left, you knew that it was going to be the same system because you don't have time to put in a new system. You knew that Tim Kelly really hadn't gotten to call plays on his own. So there was still some sort of like reservation that man, maybe Deshaun's going to hit a wall and he's going to look bad. Yeah. And this could be he's a lost season for him. And you're just basically keeping your fingers crossed that the next guy comes. No, King Bill left, and all of a sudden the offense looks better. So it's basically been validated in a very short time. The numbers don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
33 points per game, which would be second in the NFL the last 2 weeks, and the second most yards per game. It's right there. It's right there in front of you, and it's amazing that it took that long, that short a time for it to be validated, but it has. Mm-hmm. And that's just the situation that the Texans are in. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Let's talk to Robert. He wants to weigh in on this four fingers. If you're just tuning in, Aaron Rodgers apparently talks about his drinks in finger form. Three fingers, four fingers,
like,
all that
like
stuff.
Like a lot of people do.
Don't get it. No, not really. Yeah, I wouldn't say a lot of people. A
lot of people.
To say the least. Robert, what's up? You're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Okay, Landry. You know, you get these young bartenders, young promoters, you know, they may not be familiar with it. But, John, I agree with you. I'm 70 years old.
Not a baby.
Okay.
I would order four fingers before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye.
That's awesome.
And you don't still do it though, right? We got to kind of move on with the times. That's more. I'm not trying to go back to then. I'm trying to get with the times right now, Robert.
Oh no, I don't drink anymore. Back then, the only reason I wasn't an alcoholic is because I didn't not going to meetings.
Okay. Good for you, though.
Good for you, Robert.
Yeah. See there?
I haven't had a drink of alcohol in over 30 years.
There you go.
Not a baby.
There you go.
Not a baby. Good
man,
for you.
Robert, right there. Dad, congratulations to you. My pop's quit cold turkey, too. Stepdad
did?
Didn't. Yeah, stepdad didn't. Dad did.
Right.
Dad hadn't drank in probably like 25, something like that.
Wow. So, that's
where is
cool.
That? Can't say the same for my stepdad. Rest in peace, man. Shout out to the Tangeray on the rocks. I think it was about six fingers for him. You just ordered it by the bottle.
Oh, my God.
Get a bottle of Tangeray.
Who's the heaviest drinker you've ever seen him?
My stepdad. Yeah, but it wasn't like he wasn't violent or anything. He would just stay up.
He just drank and drank and drank.
He would go work. He was a very successful guy. And then he would stay up till 5 a.m.
Just pounding.
Cooking.
Cooking?
Cooking steaks, dude. I would come in at 2 a.m. and I could get like a 5-star steak. And he'd be cooking my dog steaks. And he'd be watching St. Louis Blues. Or St. Louis Rams or St. Louis Cardinals games on tape delay. And he'd just be sitting there sipping the Tangeray.
Yeah.
It was weird. But he was up no matter what, no matter what time I snuck
He didn't waste a second of his life.
He didn't. Mm-mm. Did not. 713-572-4610. If you want to get in, J-Lo sipping that four-finger cocktail right now. Could this be the week? There's a lot of rumors involving Texans players and trades. Could this be the week where J.J. Watt finally realizes that it's time to move on? It's pretty likely. And all we need to show you is a trip back in time. That's next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Did you eat your chunky soup?
How did you get down here? Ma.
Did you eat your chunky soup?
Yeah, Ma. Chunky beef with crunchy vegetables. Mmm. Lean beef, potatoes, vegetables. Chunky always hits the spot.
Reggie White, one of the Packers' legends. He was a missing piece for them. After putting together a Hall of Fame-type career for the Philadelphia Eagles, Reggie White, at the age of 31, decided to sign with the Green Bay Packers. And the rest is history. He won the Super Bowl. Lived happily ever after, one of the best to ever do it. J.J. Watt grew up in Wisconsin. He grew up idolizing Reggie White. Here is J.J. Watt talking about the Packers legend, Reggie White.
I knew people loved him. I knew he was an incredible player. I knew it was cool to see how much people adored him. I mean, obviously growing up in Wisconsin, you know, I knew what it looked like for people to be fans, and then I knew what it looked like for people to be more than fans, and I thought that's what people were for Reggie. I'm always chasing him, you know, I'm always chasing him. It's incredible. I mean, I grew up idolizing Reggie. Reggie was my favorite player growing up. I knew he was a great player when I was a kid, when I didn't know anything about stats or football or anything. To be accomplishing some of these things and to see how incredible he really was from a stat perspective and from what he accomplished as a player, it's unbelievable. And if there's anybody that I'm going to be number two to, I'm all right being number two to Reggie White.
And Reggie White was a legend in Green Bay after putting together a hell of a resume in Philadelphia. I bring that up because we are a week and change away from the trade deadline. J.J. Watts is just as much of a legend, if not more, in Houston than Reggie was in Philadelphia. And J.J. Watt has been on record saying the Super Bowl is all that he craves for the remainder of his career. Is it possible that this week, with that uniform in front of him, J.J. Watts becomes more open to potentially doing what his hero did and going somewhere else to take the next step?
I think not only is it possible, but I think he's already thinking that way. He has to be. He has to already be thinking that way. And then it leads to another question. Would you rather, and I'm not crazy about all these, you know, would you rather polls and all that stuff, but I think this is a legitimate one for Houston Texans fans. Would you rather win this game and you're 2-5, you kind of have a, you know, faint glimmer of hope, but unlikely that you're going to do anything and get to the postseason, but keep the season alive, or lose and start making these deals?
I would rather have a guy in charge that isn't that simplistic and can at least see past misleading wins, because I think that's been the problem with the Texans with Bill O'Brien, is they've hung their hat on division titles. And although it's clear as day that they're not anywhere close to getting where they want to go, they still act as if, you know, winning division titles is okay. So I would like to be in a situation where I don't have to answer that question. Mm-hmm. And even if they do win, the Texans are able to look at 2021 while still trying to win in 2020, much like what the Miami Dolphins are doing right now, in that they're a 3-3 team right there on the edge of being in the playoff picture, inside looking out, and they're going with young guys like Tua. So to answer your question, I would rather have somebody smart enough to be able to look past the result of just a simple-ass win on Sunday against the Pack.
I totally agree. My point is, you go to 1-6, I don't think anybody in that building is even remotely thinking there's a chance. And so it almost makes you start making those deals. I guess that's what I'm saying. Because right now they have a responsibility to 52 other guys, 50 other guys, 48 other guys, depending on how many you're thinking about or could maybe trade. I mean, if you listen to, was it La Canfora? Now they're already getting inquiries.
Breer said it too, if you want a little more credibility.
And Breer said it too. They're already getting inquiries about players. So 2-5, you're still going like, maybe, let's see how the next couple of games go. But if you're 1-6, you're listening. You're 1-6, you're listening because it becomes so apparent you're not going anywhere. So I would definitely say when it comes to JJ that you have to move him. If not going 1-6 and being forced to do it now before the trade deadline, because the trade deadline is less than 2 weeks now, right?
Yep.
Something's got to happen here pretty soon if you're going to do it this season. Then you're going to do it after the season, and you'll probably get less for JJ after the season.
Before we get into some names that are being thrown out there as potential trades for the Texans, could I interest you in hearing the voice of the great Dick Schaap?
Who doesn't when it comes like to Dick
Reggie White? Schaap. Let's pour one out for Dick Schaap. Let's go back in time when Reggie White did decide to go from the Eagles to the Packers. And let's just let Dick Schaap tell us the story.
Here's ABC's Dick Schaap.
The smallest city in the National Football League landed the biggest prize. Reggie White is the 3-time All-Pro defensive end for the Philadelphia Eagles, the scourge of quarterbacks and ball carriers. Half a dozen other teams from New York to San Francisco bid seriously for White, an ordained minister who was the premier player available in the first year of true free agency. White chose Green Bay for practical as well as spiritual reasons. The Packers, like the Eagles, play in the National Football Conference and are a team on the rise. The Packers just missed the playoffs a year ago. White has never, in high school, college, or the pros, played on a championship team. The fact that the Packers made White at 31 the highest paid lineman in football history didn't hurt either. Dick Schaap, ABC News.
Oh, that just sounds so good.
Such a good voice. Of all the names that are being thrown out there, and you always got to take it with a grain of salt from Lock and Fora, but he threw out the receivers, Roby, Fells, Cooks, Fuller, Merciless, and Cunningham. Of all those names, I think Whitney Merciless, if you can get a 7th-round pick for Whitney Merciless and get rid of that contract, then I think you do it. Cunningham, I think it's too early to trade him. Roby, I'm not trading Bradley Roby. He's the best corner you got. Darren Fells, who really wants Darren Fells? And then Cooks and Fuller, I guess I would ship Fuller for the right price, but you do got to take into account that you're going to have to put together some sort of receiving core next year.
You will, but I mean, what kind of money are you going to be spending? What kind of draft picks are you going to accumulate? If you can move some of these guys, you're going to get some cap space too, and that's going to be important. I would say you get anything you can for Merciless. I would keep Zach Cunningham, but people are asking about Zach Cunningham because they're thinking, well, maybe the Texans are in rebuild mode and. You know, they'll take a fourth, or whatever it may be. So that you, don't ask, don't get, right? So I don't think he's going to be a reality. People are asking about Roby for the same reason. You know, you guys are done. And this is going to get a lot hotter after this year, this week, if the Texans lose. You know, we could sure use Roby in, I'm trying to think of a good example, maybe Baltimore. You know, can use another really good cornerback. They're thinking we're going to face the Chiefs.
They might be all right, though.
No, they're good. No, trust me, they're good. But you know what I mean? Now, Fells and Cooks, I think you can move today, absolutely, and get something in back. Fuller would make the most sense of all of them, wouldn't he?
Well, it depends on what the price is, because you got to wonder, is that Deshaun's guy? Is that the guy that you want, because him and Cooks are going to be free agents? The guys that I think I would trade for any price, you can give me a seventh-round pick.
Yeah,
I would trade Whitney Merciless's contract if someone wants to take that. I would trade Kenny Stills at this point,
yeah,
just because I think someone could use him. And I would trade Randall Cobb, which I don't think is going to happen with the $12 million in dead cap. But those are the guys I would trade at any price.
Mm-hmm.
For the right price, I would trade JJ, and I would trade Will Fuller if you gave me the right price. And I'm not trading Bradley Roby for anything. I think he's the only bargain, really, mm-hmm. that you got on this roster.
Right, but people are asking.
Yeah, but I'm not trading
Bradley. And they might overpay for a really good cornerback if they're a contender.
There's no chance I would do that, because I think the Texans are – kind of fighting an uphill battle when it comes to improving that, and they don't have a lot of bargains on the roster. So I wouldn't trade Roby, but JJ will for the right price. Yes, I don't know why anyone would trade for Whitney Merciless, but if they did, go ahead and go out, and you can see what happens with Jonathan Grenard and the other guys. And then Kenny and Cobb, they can go. I think it'd be easy to move Kenny just as like some sort of rental,
mm-hmm.
but Cobb, $12 million next year, you think anyone wants to do that?
No.
Very doubtful. So
Texans don't want to do it.
We'll see what happens. But the names are being thrown out there. Albert Breer and Jason Lockenfor are throwing out the names. And it's only going to intensify if the Texans aren't able to win this game on Sunday against the Green Bay Packers. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. The next coach of the Houston Texans, loopholes and Sports Radio 610 listeners are starting to weigh in on that. Plus, a lot going on in the NFL. In baseball, looks like the Dodgers might win a World Series unless the official pitcher of In the Loop has something to say about it tonight. That's next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals, the tools and equipment you need for any job. You're In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, who's going to be the next coach of the Texans? We're probably not going to know for a few months, but the Sports Radio 610 hashtag Texans coach bracket is in full effect. Eric Bieniemy has already taken down Jason Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise there. Jim Harbaugh takes down Nick Saban, who, by the way, Jim Harbaugh going to coach his first game of the 2020 season this Saturday. Gary Kubiak has taken down Steve Spagnuolo. Brian Daboll has taken down Mike Leach, and Dabo Swinney has taken down Jay Gruden. Now you have Kevin O'Connell versus Brian Schottenheimer. Kevin mm-hmm. O'Connell, the OC for Sean McVay and the Rams, and Brian Schottenheimer, the OC out there in Seattle. I'm a fan of O'Connell. I like O'Connell's work, but as I've said, and I think as you've said, Robert Saleh is my number one choice.
Mine too.
And I want him to bring one of the run game or pass game coordinators that studies under Kyle Shanahan, McDaniel or
right.
LaFleur. McDaniel, LaFleur are the two guys that understudy Kyle Shanahan. I think this team needs a defensive-minded coach, because I think we've seen the last 2 weeks Deshaun Watson ain't that far off. All they needed was Bill O'Brien to get out of the building, so
right.
I think the offense can be okay. I think they need, because of the limited resources, they need a defensive coach, a leader that's going to come in here and hire the right offensive guy.
Yeah, and I think what we've also seen, what we've seen in the last couple of weeks, a defensive-minded coach telling the offensive guy, you go do that. You go do offense. You go do Deshaun. You go take care of him. Just one voice in his ear. That, to me, speaks to Robert Saleh and why I like him. A real powerful leader, guy that's ready. Bring in one of the geniuses, the boy geniuses.
Will Fleur or McDaniel is their name.
To deal with the Deshaun Watson. I think that would be my number one choice. And by the way, if you want to get in on the coaches brackets on sportsradio610.com, getting into some interesting, the next few ones are going to have Arthur Smith, who we saw his work at last week, against Wink Martindale, and Lincoln Riley against Joe Woods in the coming day.
At least that's me.
Yeah.
You hear a lot of people that are hesitant to sign a New England assistant because they talk about Bill Belichick's assistants and the lack of success they've had. When have understudies with Shanahan and McVay not had success?
Exactly.
Zach Taylor already looks like he's got something going in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys seem to know what they're doing. So when you look, I think Kevin O'Connell, if you're going to bring an offensive guy, deserves a look. But I want Robert Saleh from San Francisco. That's my guy.
Me too.
And I want to be able
to. That's the in the loop pick.
I want my cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
I want Saleh coming in here. He's a solid dude.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy. Family man. Real big time leader. San Francisco's defense, we already know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to branch off of that Shanahan tree.
Yeah.
I want to branch off of that tree. So McDaniel, LaFleur, whichever one of you want to come call plays, come on down.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
Saleh's got six kids, man.
He's busy.
Six kids.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. That is an awful, awful lot.
Six kids, man. That's a lot of work, man.
He's going to need that contract.
But if you can do it, go ahead and get it done. Romeo Crennel, how are you going to get ready for Aaron Rodgers on Sunday? Rack met with the media types earlier today. Here is Rack talking about how you contain number 12.
They're tremendous because he's really good. He does a good job at the line of scrimmage, controlling the line of scrimmage, getting guys to jump off sides. He does a good job of recognizing the defense, knowing where he needs to go with the ball, and he's got weapons around him that he uses. You know, he'll use that stable of running backs that they have. Usually they have a big tight end that he likes and goes to. They got good receivers, you know. And so with all of those weapons, just like I mentioned with our guy, if he can spread the ball around, you have to cover him one-on-one to a degree, or choose who you're going to double. And he's experienced, so he can figure out what the double is. And then he can go somewhere else with the ball.
I mean, damn, Romeo.
This has got to be one of the most frustrating weeks for a defensive coordinator.
You got a chance?
We're done. We got no shot.
Know how those loopholes were upset with us about Derrick Henry last week?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Why don't you suck him off?
God. It's got to be frustrating when you face a guy like Aaron Rodgers as a defensive coordinator, because no matter what you do,
they don't have a lot of weapons.
He's
though.
Seen it before.
They don't have a lot of weapons, though.
Weapons. I mean,
Aaron Jones.
He's one.
Davante Adams, that's it. And then it's a bunch of Jags.
That he makes really good players out of.
Just a guy.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
Yeah.
Just a
guy. They're 4-1.
What's your point? Who do they play?
He never had a bunch of weapons anyway.
Yeah, that is true.
But again, like, no matter all the schemes you throw out there and disguises, he's like, oh, I've seen that. Oh, I've seen that. I know where to go with the ball.
Cocky as hell, too.
Oh, I love it.
God, he's cocky as hell. So Romeo Crennel has asked about Aaron Rodgers. That makes sense, right? Would that make your list of questions for Rack?
Absolutely.
What about asking about Kahale Waring? Would that have made your list?
Probably not.
Well, it did today.
Well, we'll see after this bye week, probably, you know, and go from there, make a decision at that time.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I guess I can understand if you're a beat writer asking the question, you need these notes.
About Kahale Waring?
You need these notes.
So is that a story?
It's a note.
Is that going to be the top fold,
nope.
as they say?
Nope. Nope, but
what are we
if you're a beat guy.
What are we doing, guys?
No, but if you're a beat guy, you have to ask these questions.
Get it together, media types.
Keep in mind there's no more gaggle at the end of a practice. This is on a Zoom call. You have to do it that way.
You know, I'm about to go talk to Romeo. I'm not going to ask about David Johnson, the Enron back. I'm not going to ask about the poor tackling. Kahale Waring. Kahale Waring. I'm going to ask about him.
I got an idea.
And then an all-time low. I love the guy. He's a sharp-dressed dude. He's one of my neighbors.
Yeah.
We're supposed to go have a drink soon. I'm going to push that back after what he pulled today.
Yeah.
Aaron Wilson, what are you doing?
Last one for Aaron Wilson.
Hey, Romeo. You look at Isaiah Coulter.
What?
How much progress has he made since he's returned to practice? Is he someone that you envision activating at some point while you're in this window from the designated return?
Well, I think he's made progress as far as catching the ball. You know,
as far as catching the ball,
and he's got pretty good hands. I think that we're going to have to see how he does with route running and things like that. And if that improves and comes along, then there's a possibility he could get activated.
Okay, so what are they going to do? Sit Kenny Stills on the sidelines? Are they going to sit Will Fuller on the sidelines? Are they going to sit Brandon Cooks on the sidelines? Is Kiki QT going to be on the sidelines? Is DeAndre Carter out of the sun going to fall off? Isaiah Coulter, come on, dude. Come on, John.
Hold on. Hear me out.
Come on,
hear
dude.
Me out. I'm not defending it. Well,
Isaiah Coulter?
I guess I'm kind of defending it in this regard.
Aaron.
It was the last question of the Zoom call. And Aaron has to fill notes for his Sunday notes column on the Houston Texans. He had to do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he does.
So you think that I'm going to look up his notes and it's going to say Isaiah Coulter might be activated?
Maybe.
Aaron,
I wouldn't lead with that question. That's for darn sure.
Isaiah Coulter?
He has a job to do.
Did you hear Romeo say, yeah, he's got to work on his catching, and maybe if he can run routes, then maybe he'll be active.
Yeah.
He was about to say who.
Other than that, yeah.
Aaron, I'm gonna have to get at my guy. Aaron Rodgers, cocky as hell. My goodness, you're cocky, but you know what? I like it.
Yeah.
J-Lo likes it.
I love
and we
it.
Know Pat McAfee likes that you're cocky as hell on his show.
On the field, the narrative about you last year was that you're washed up. Like, this guy can't play football anymore. Did you hear that stuff? I would assume you did. You have to in the world that we're in. And do you think being a second year in your offense that you're currently in with LaFleur is a massive advantage to maybe what was happening like?
I mean, I don't know. Every team is different. Every year is different. And it does help being a second year, for sure. I feel a lot more comfortable. But, you know, I sometimes laugh when people talk about, you know, down years for me, because a lot of times down years for me are career years for most quarterbacks.
Yes! That was awesome!
Hey, just the facts, bro.
Just the facts, bro. Can I interest you in a stat?
Yes.
All right. Well, let me ask you a question. How many times over the last 8 years has Aaron Rodgers played 16 games and thrown for less than 4,000 yards?
Once.
Once.
When Matt Flynn came in for him, maybe?
Once.
Numbers are hot.
I mean, it is just the facts. His down year was, yeah, I think it was that year. In 2015, threw for 3,821 yards, 31 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. That's his worst full season in the last 8 years.
He's
well, he
good,
ain't wrong.
Dude.
He I mean, ain't he's, wrong.
He's really good. I mean, I'm not hating on him, but is his team overrated? D'Angelo Hall, we remember you for getting your ankles broken by DeAndre Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the Packers are overrated?
Yeah, the Packers overrated. Let's be real here. You know, I thought about that even last year. You know, every time I thought the Packers were right there to show me that they were a great football team, you know, even going back to last year. And then the Packers go out there and they lay that kind of egg. Unacceptable.
I mean, he's right. We've seen that happen, but I think we've seen more often where people are like, yeah, Packers, they're done. I mean, they're looking pretty bad right now. In fact, people are saying it right now. He just said it right now. And what happens? They turn it around and they win 11 games and get to the conference finals.
See what happens. Yeah. See what happens. I think there's a middle ground between what the Pack are. I don't think this is an elite team. I think this is a very good team. I think this is a second-tier team. You're not facing like some sort of elite team. The Texans got a puncher's chance. Also, around the NFL as we play the hits here on Sports Radio 610, Tua, officially the starter for the Miami Dolphins. They are 3-3, bye week, 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, fighting to get into the playoffs. but they're also fighting to look at Tua, get him some experience. Maybe he's better than Fitzpatrick right now, Fitzmagic, but they're getting the best of both worlds in that you're essentially all in because you had all the cap space and you revamped your defense like they did.
Yeah.
You also are in the mix, and you also have the Texans' first-round pick, your first-round pick, and a couple second-round picks, and you're going to get a look at your quarterback of the future. Not much bad going on in Miami right now, honestly.
You gotta feel
not much bad.
If you're a Dolphins fan, you got to feel really, really good about them. If you look at who they drafted last year, two offensive linemen, two guys in the secondary,
two starters,
and a defensive tackle, two starters, with I think it was six picks in the top three rounds this coming year. They have five picks in the top three rounds, including a Texans first rounder and a Texans second rounder. They're in a good spot, and they're going to, you know, I don't even know if they, the only thing they have to find out on Tua is not can he play. He can play. It's can he stay healthy. Can he play with that hip, redone or whatever. That's the only question they have on him.
I said that the Texans should have taken a look at David Irving, the former Cowboys defensive lineman that's a pothead.
He gone.
They went with the Raiders, and he went to the Raiders. Raiders decided to sign him. So, yeah, what could go wrong? David Irving in Las Vegas. You tell me. Good God. Raiders, what are y'all thinking?
I hadn't thought of that.
Bears have signed veteran, one of the most fascinating athletes in the history of ever, in my opinion. I've never been more obsessed with a story than this. Oh, I'm obsessed with a lot of stories.
I know who you're talking about.
Manti Te'o is on the practice squad for the Bears. One of the biggest losers ever, let's be honest. Look, if we can sit here and we can try to act like he's some sort of victim, if you're the big man on campus at Notre Dame and you have a fake girlfriend, you're kind of a loser.
The problem
you're
he
kind
had,
of a loser, John.
The biggest issue he had was not just that he got, catfished.
He lied.
He doubled down on it and started lying about,
Lene Kakua.
They went to Hawaii or something like that?
Lene Kakua.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Fig,
yes,
am I being
do.
Too hard on him?
Nah, man.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. God, that was bad. So bad. He's never going to die. He got married, though.
Not to her.
Which was a him at the end of the story.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. He met with Katie Kirk. God, that was bad. I wanted to feel bad for the kid. I just couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Because he doubled down and lied.
You're at Notre Dame, bro.
Yeah.
You're at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You're on national TV every week. You're the guy. Come on, bro.
Yep.
Get it together, Manti.
He was a Heisman candidate.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it was the runner-up.
Mm-hmm.
They got killed in that national championship.
Yeah, they did. Though.
They got the brakes tapped
yeah,
off them.
They did.
My goodness, I thought Brian Kelly was going to strangle somebody in that one. James Palmer, formerly a Houston media type, now a pretty national media type at NFL Network. He was asked about Le'Veon Bell going to Kansas City. Le'Veon will have his first practice today.
Yep.
We know they got Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Rich got richer in the draft, and the rich continue to get richer as the Jets
release. The guy Heathcliff from Kansas City.
Here is James Palmer talking about Le'Veon Bell's role.
He actually tweeted out, "I can't wait." He knows what he's joining now that he's seeing this rushing attack as well. And Andy Reid said after the game, "We don't turn good players away. He is a good player. They think he is smart. They think he has obviously been around for some time, so they think he'll pick up the playbook rather quickly, and now, as Patrick Mahomes told us, is another weapon for him. Like he needed another one, right? But another weapon to this backfield to wear teams out and how they can now run the football. And obviously, he's great in the passing game, but Mahomes referenced it opening things up in the passing game as well. How does this work? He has already spoken to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Helaire has already told us that he is going to pick his brain. We know how smart Helaire is. He picked up Andy Reid's difficult playbook quickly. This might be really good for the Chiefs in the long run for their rookie running back as well.
Man, the possibilities are definitely endless with Bell, even just a situational runner. But, man, the Chiefs right now, it's going to be hard to dethrone them. It just flat out is. They have, a lot. There is no Super Bowl hangover at all.
Well, the problem with the Chiefs is that now they're showing that they can win different ways.
Right.
Like, they aren't just committed to one way.
Right.
They can win different ways. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
You want to get down and dirty? Now they got Le'Veon Bell.
And they got Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah.
I mean, they can just win any way, shape, or form. That's the Chiefs. Baseball yesterday, World Series Game 1. Dodgers won 8-3. Clayton Kershaw allowed two hits and one walk while striking out 8. He retired 17 of the final 18 batters he faced. He basically said, October slump, D's nuts.
Yeah.
Dodgers up 1-0. Our guy, though, on the mound today.
Blake Snell on the mound.
Or is he?
Yeah, he is.
You sure?
Why would you say that?
Blake, you sure you're pitching tonight?
Jeez Louise, man. What's up with all y'all motherfuckers coming in and ask if I'm pitching? Go listen to what I said. Go see what we playing. And then when you put it together, you'd be like, yeah, he playing. That's exactly what he said. It's crazy. It just matched up. It just, the maturation was so crazy. It was so beautiful. It just came together like he already knew what was going to happen. And then it just went together. And it went on the hand like a glove. And it fit so good. And it fit so,
what is
and it got
doing?
So freaking naughty. Yeah, I mean, good guy, man. Riddle me that. You not follow my Instagram, you're going to be caught up on everything, and it's going to be so freaking naughty, and it's going to be so crazy, and you're going to be saying I need it so bad very shortly.
Dude, that guy gets so loopy when he plays video games.
You sure it's the video game?
Gosh, Blake Snell.
You sure it's the video game?
I'm rooting for him now.
I know you are.
I'm rooting for him tonight. Go get him, Blake. Go get him. Wow. Houston is behind you. Wow. Houston is behind you. They definitely don't want to see the Dodgers win that World Series. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Stanford Routes in the building at 1240. But coming up, there's trade chatter surrounding the Houston Texans. Who should go and who should stay? We'll discuss next.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.